This is the Sun Radio Regional Report. I'm Kevin Connor. We touch on topics of interest and importance to people here in Central Texas. And of course, everybody's talking about how hot it's been. With the heat comes a demand for water. And that's why I wanted to talk to Kevin Crittenden. He is the Assistant Director of Austin Water for Environmental Planning and Development. And see, you got to figure out how long our water is going to last if it never rains again.
That's a tall order, Kevin, and certainly don't like the idea of having kind of ominous for to put that in my lap. But certainly that's one of the things that we are concerned about here at Austin Water, to make sure that we do have a long and sustainable water supply for our community.
First of all, where does most of our water come from? Lake Travis and where else?
The city of Austin gets its water from a combination of water rights that we hold from the state of Texas. And those water rights are backed up by a contract that the city of Austin has with the Lower Colorado River Authority. And of course, LCRA is the owner and operator of the Highland Lakes, which includes Lake Buchanan and Lake Travis. Those are the primary water supply reservoirs for this region. So it's the combination of those things, which is why we look very closely to the elevations or the combined storage of those particular reservoirs.
And the lakes are low. Those two lakes in particular are low, and they hit a certain point, and that's when we hit stage one. Tell us what stage one water restrictions are for people that get their water from the city of Austin.
I'll back up just a little bit to say that, number one, that reservoirs by design fluctuate. That's kind of what they do. That allows those reservoirs to both provide, water for water supply. It also allows those reservoirs, particularly Lake Travis, to function as a flood control structure. Mm-hmm. And so the ebb and flow or the increase or decrease in water surface elevation is a common phenomenon, and that's why that happens. However, because we are reliant exclusively on the Colorado River and certainly rely on backup storage from those reservoirs, those elevations, we pay particular attention to them.
Right.
And we engaged on a regular basis with LCRA on water supply planning and operation matters. We've independently done our own, water supply planning. And for us, we put together a variety of drought contingency plans, water conservation plans, which basically we pre-program or pre-delineate particular storage levels that at which we need to start taking particular actions or paying particular attention. The first of those is sort of where we're at right now. Our drought contingency plan basically states that when the combined storage of Lakes Buchanan and Travis reach 1.4 million acre feet, at that time that we will declare a drought one stage water restrictions. And in all honesty, the water use restrictions associated with that are somewhat modest. What we're asking customers to do is basically narrow the window in which they might use their automatic irrigation system. And so we're basically asking folks that, they only water from midnight to 8 a.m. and then from 7 p.m. to midnight. And again, at some level, that just sort of makes sense. That's the times when, there's less potential for evaporation, less loss through evapotranspiration. And so that's kind of the most efficient or effective time to be using your sprinkler system. Yeah. Our goal in that is to try to achieve about a 5% reduction in overall water use. And so, again, that will help us sort of as we continue to keep our eye on weather to make sure that we can try to make that existing water supply last as long as we can.
So I live in a house with an odd number at the end of it. So my days are Wednesdays and Saturdays, I believe. And actually, we were kind of doing that already and observing those rules before the announcement. But not everybody is paying close attention to these. How do you get the word out when you have to go to stage one restrictions that people have to know these are the times you can water and these are the days you should be watering? How do you let people know?
We do it through a few ways. I mean, number one, of course, our city manager has, made that declaration. So there's an official process by which we, make that declaration. I think more practically, we do it through these types of opportunities. We post it on social media, we put it in the news, it is, on our website. And so that's the basic, way we get that information out. We also rely on you know, word of mouth. And so we're fortunate here in Austin that the Austin community has a strong culture of water conservation. And so, you know, we rely on neighbors telling neighbors, next door, anything that we can to try to make sure that folks are aware of our current drought conditions and that they're all doing their part to help save our water.
Is there any enforcement on this water restrictions?
So absolutely there is. We do have a water conservation division. In that division, there's a specific team that does enforcement activities. And so, you know, we get a fair amount of traffic through like 311 to tell us where people may or may not be behaving appropriately. You know, the simple fact of the matter is that if we do witness someone watering on the wrong day or at the wrong time, we do have statutory authority where we could actually impose a fine. Now, I will say that's not our primary goal, right? Our primary goal is to seek compliant behavior. And so typically what would happen is if we witness somebody doing watering on the wrong day, we would just simply notify them that they are and ask them to comply. Yeah. However, from time to time, you know, folks either forget or for some reason decide they, you know, don't need to follow the rules. And so in those cases, we do have the ability to move to fines if they're necessary.
He's watering his lawn and it's Thursday.
Exactly.
His day is Wednesday.
Exactly.
I don't know if I'd make that call on my neighbors. I'm not sure.
I hear you.
We're talking with Kevin Crittenden, who is the assistant director of Austin Water. We're in stage one restrictions now, and it's pretty common sense kind of stuff. You know, like you said, don't be watering in the middle of the day because you're losing a lot of that water, and it's almost like putting fuel on your lawn anyway. It's kind of going to burn the grass a little bit. And what is stage two? If we get to that point, what is the increase in restrictions?
So when we move to stage two, let me first say that again, stage two would be triggered similarly by combined storage levels in the Highland Lakes. And so right now we're just under 1.4 million. If we get to 900,000 acre feet of storage, then that's when we would enact stage two restrictions. I would say generally stage two restrictions are somewhat just more of the same, if you will. At that point, we further restrict the number of hours that automatic sprinkler systems can be used. We also begin to restrict hose end watering. So like right now, you know, folks can still use hose end watering to do, you know, spot treatments or areas where, you know, they need some more water and can do that with more frequency. Once we get into stage two, even hose end watering becomes restricted. And then there's a litany of kind of other progressive measures about, you know, other places that need to kind of reduce. So things like car washing, for instance, would have to be done using like a bucket, for instance. Right. Again, so it's just sort of a progressive increase in kind of water use restrictions.
Environmental is in your job title. So the bigger picture is you have to look at changes in the climate, the long range forecast for what rain is. And I'm sure you pay very close attention to what's going on out in the West. They're running out of water in the American Southwest, and it's going to be a very, very serious problem. So in your job, looking towards the future, what can Austin Water do to prepare for the possibility of a severe water shortage in the not too distant? Well, it could be this summer. I mean, we're off to a very early start on very hot weather right now. What do you do to plan?
I'll take that into two things. I would say in the near term, you know, we continue to watch the weather conditions on a day-by-day basis. You know, we look to not only water storage in the Highland Lakes and water available in the Colorado River, we're also watching inflow into the Highland Lakes. We're watching National Weather Service and NOAA drought predictions and severities. So that's kind of a rolling 2 to 3 month outlook. So we're continuing to stay focused on that and continuing to work in collaboration and coordination with LCRA kind of on the near term. Your question really, I think, is about kind of the bigger picture. Austin has had the good fortune and the foresight to start to think about the broader implications of climate change, And also growth on our community started back in the drought in the 2011-2014 range. The city council enacted a drought task force. That drought task force recommended the development of an integrated water resource plan. And so we worked through that process, and that process became what we call Water Forward. Water Forward is our 100-year integrated water resources plan for our community. And the goal of that plan is to try to think through the implications of continued growth in our area, as well as the impacts of climate change in, you know, how we will continue to have a sustainable water supply for our community for 100 years.
Potentially less water and definitely a higher demand because of more people. More people need more water.
Absolutely. I mean, we projected in Water Forward that the population in the Austin area could quadruple. So, you know, we would have, you know, nearly 4 million people in and around the Austin area relying on our water supply and increased uncertainty around water availability. So in that exercise, we looked to a variety of strategies to try to help make that equation work from a water supply and demand side of the equation. Through that process, we identified 18 to 20 different broad-ranging strategies on how to continue to provide sustainable water for our community. And it truly is a variety of strategies and techniques on both the supply management and the demand management side. So the key areas of that Water Forward plan included continued focus and protection of our existing Colorado River supplies, a continued strong focus on water conservation. Again, as I said earlier, Austin has a very high ethos on water conservation, and we want to continue that. Some other strategies include increasing our reuse of water. So whether that's centralized treated wastewater effluent that we're using to reuse for non-potable purposes, or some of our more recent efforts on on-site reuse. So the opportunity to take water that may exist in an existing building through HVAC condensate or local rainfall to be able to reuse that in buildings. We had the good fortune yesterday of commissioning our Oscar and Clara water reuse facilities at the city's new permitting and development center. That's a demonstration project where we're looking to not only capture rainwater at that site and reuse it for irrigation, but also treating wastewater that comes from the building, treating it to very high levels, and then pumping that back into the building to use it to flush toilets and urinals. So those are some components. Additionally, we're working on some other projects, including landscape transformation, having folks, you know, make sure that they're adapting their landscapes to be more efficient in how they use water. And then we're even doing some supply development work. As an example of that would be our aquifer storage and recovery project, where we would look to store as much as 60,000 acre feet of water underground and make that available in the case of a future drought. So lots of things. I think the overall Water Forward has identified that there won't be one kind of easy solution to this, but it will be something that we have to address at all levels. And we'll take a lot of effort, and we appreciate the support by the community as we try to work through, you know, implementing a lot of these.
This is Kevin Crittenden with Austin Water. You were talking about the reuse of water. I think it's called gray water in some places, right?
Sure. That's certainly one of the names. Yeah.
So in Las Vegas, I remember hearing a story about how they use a lot of gray water for outdoor use. And is it like a separate spigot where the gray water comes out?
Yeah, there's a lot of different sort of applications or approaches. In many contexts, the idea of gray water is as simple as being able to use water that's available on site that may not be, you know, that may be relatively high quality that could be used for non-potable uses. So, yeah. You know, we have programs, for instance, like our laundry to landscape program, where you could actually take water, wastewater from your laundry and actually use it to irrigate your lawn. So, I mean, that's a simple example. You know, we do use like centralized treated effluent, sort of in a more extreme example, where we take water from our regional wastewater treatment plants, we treat that to a very high level, and we use that for a variety of purposes around the city. So Several of the city golf courses use that for irrigation. That water is used for air conditioning, for cooling. You know, in certain commercial applications, we use that for cooling water in certain power plants. So lots of opportunity. I think as it relates back to Water Forward, that's another component where we need to really start to consider a fit for purpose type approach. The idea that, you know, we don't need to use kind of our precious drinking water where we don't need to use it. If there's another right. source of water that can be used, we need to look for those alternative applications.
And you also mentioned making landscaping choices that take less water. Some people spend a lot of time and money and water to try to make their lawn look like the fairway at Augusta Country Club, Augusta National. And that may not be the most practical thing here in Central Texas, but if you go with native plants, they, over a long period of time, have become more adjusted to the weather conditions here. So they oftentimes don't need as much water as something you may have brought in from another part of the country.
Absolutely. And that's a big part of, you know, the effort that we're working on right now, which we're calling landscape transformation. Our water conservation division is working with a variety of folks from the community to think about, you know, ways that we could change some of our policies and some of our code requirements that would help have folks move to landscaping choices that make more sense locally, whether yeah. that's native plants, adaptive plants, whether that's changing, you know, the amount of turf irrigation that could require water, using different landscape choices. So there's a whole host of techniques that are being considered. And, you know, we're, like, say, engaging different members of the community and different folks across the spectrum to try to help us get some good ideas about how to make those changes in a way that, you know, folks can still have a beautiful lawn, a mm-hmm. Beautiful yard, but do it in a way that makes sense here in Central Texas.
Yeah. And these programs that you talk about, they're all on the website, all on the Austin Water website?
Absolutely. Please come visit our website at austinwater.org. And we also have some Speak Up Austin pages around a number of these activities. So again, you can find those links at austinwater.org. It's about, you know, being mindful about how water is used and how you use it on a daily basis. So take the time throughout your day to think about, you know, every time you use water, and try to do that in a way that is meaningful and, you know, responsible. And that's really what we're looking for.
Kevin Crittenden, the Assistant Director of Austin Water for Environmental Planning and Development. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Being mindful of the water that we use. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sun Radio Regional Report. Your comments on today's program and suggestions for topics you'd like to hear addressed in the future are always welcome at studio@sunradio.com.